it one more time, and we're going to talk about it for a little bit, but happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I heard it said about fathers, and I think fathers have been under attack in America for a long time. I say it myself as a joke, but I think sometimes the joking has long-lasting impacts, and the role of the father has been diminished. But the joke I heard one time was, being a dad basically just means you're grumpy most of the time and you know stuff. And that's how they summarize being a dad. You're pretty much just grumpy quite a bit of the time, and somehow, you can't explain it, but you know things, and you have wisdom that you can give to people when you're not grumpy. Now, that's probably a pretty accurate description of me as a dad. I was grumpy a lot. I'm still kind of grumpy. I don't know how much I know, but what I did know, I tried to pass on. But I want all the men here to understand the importance of being a dad, of being a role model, and what it is that you do that separates you. Now, the kids that are going downstairs, they can go down if they'd like to go at this time. The teachers that are going downstairs, I've instructed them to be on short notice because I don't plan on being long. I told my wife, in all honesty, as pastor, I want everybody to be here as often as they possibly can, and I believe in faithfulness. If there's one day a year that I could almost understand people not coming to Sunday morning church, it would be Father's Day. Because a lot of dads that don't attend, this is their day, and they want to golf, they want to fish, they want to be with their family, they want to barbecue, and I can almost understand that. So I appreciate those of you that are here. Thank you for being here. Before we get started, I do want to say one thing, and I have this written down in my announcements. Yesterday, we launched our first laundromat outreach ministry, and I'm very excited about what we're doing. We haven't had to take any money from the accounts of the church because outside donations have come in from people that aren't even associated with the assembly when they found out that we were doing this. And essentially what it is, it's a very simple concept. We just take the money, we convert it over into quarters so that they can use it at the machines. And some of our members go to the laundromat and just have conversation with people and talk to them and meet them and just let them talk. And throughout the process of those conversations and those meetings, we can say, hey, we'd like to bless you today and pay for your laundry services and use the quarters that people have donated. And it's just a way to minister to our community. So I want to thank Sister Lori and Brother Carl, who did that yesterday afternoon. They said they talked to about 15 people and were able to impact the community, and I believe that they are going to be rewarded by God for that ministry. So thank you for that. If you're interested in being involved in it, I'd love to expand it as much as we can. You've heard me say it multiple times. What we do in here is nowhere near as important as what we do out there. We come in here to worship and praise and serve God, but we walk out there to do the work that we are called to do by our Heavenly Father. So thank you for that. I appreciate it very much. I have a different way that I want to do this today. Brother Carl, were you able to get that song? How many in here are over the age of 50? All right. I've been trying for weeks. I've sang two songs, and nobody knows what they are. So I got a song today. I'm going to play it. I'm not going to sing it. And when you first hear the first couple chords, if you know it, do me a favor and just put your hand, just listen to the song. It has the lyrics up there. It has to do with Father's Day. It is not a religious song. So if you're one of those people that thinks that, then just get ready to cast me out of the church. This song has to go with the message today, but it is a secular country and western song. So I think you'll enjoy it. So if Brother Carl has it, listen to it. And turn it up, Brother Carl, because I don't have my hearing aids in today. Don't quote me on this, but I believe that this is, I believe it's the Judds.
Reaching out to home and having a nightmare.
I have a poem I want to read to start off today. It says, "The Hands That Built My Sky." It's talking about dads. Your hands were never idle. They shaped the wood, the soil, the air, mending what was broken, lifting what was heavy, steady as the horizon. You taught me that strength is not the weight you carry, but it's the way you carry it. Quiet, sure, without complaint, like the sun holding the day. Now, when I see and stand in my own storms, I feel your hands in mine, not to shield me from the rain, but to show me how to walk through it, head high, heart steady, under the sky you've built. I want to talk to you for just a few short moments, and I do want to be short. I want to give people time to partake of our fellowship that we're going to have after service, because I believe spending time with family is God's gift to us. And I want everyone to have enough time. There's pie, there's donuts, there's coffee, there's free gifts there's a picture wall that you can take a picture with your family, and I want you to partake of those things, so I will be cognizant of time. And this is going to be a little bit different. I'm not the most sentimental person in the world. And being a minister, you have to kind of learn that. There's scriptures in the Bible that say to set your face like a flint and minister. There's times when you do funerals or you do services for your members or for people that have entrusted the ministry into your hand where you can't get emotionally attached. You have to kind of separate yourself from that. And I've dealt with a lot of loss personally in my family. I don't have my father. He passed on several years ago. It's actually getting ready to go on 20 years that he's been gone. He died at 63 of a massive heart attack. Right after a special service, he shouted all over the church, had a fantastic time. We came out of a revival, and on a Sunday afternoon, he shouted all over the church. And Monday, he died of a heart attack. I've lost my mother. She was young as well. So I've dealt with loss, and I've kind of been able to just compartmentalize that and move forward. You can ask my wife. I very seldom get sentimental. I don't like to go to the cemetery. I'm not a grave decorator. I don't go out and talk to the tombstone as much as I used to, although I still do. But there's times when I get caught up in the emotion and the memories and things of Father's Day, and that's today. I'm not sad today. As a matter of fact, this is probably one of the happiest Father's Day that I can remember in a long time, because I finally got to tell both of my sons Happy Father's Day, because my oldest has given us our one-year-old granddaughter, and my youngest son Ryan and his wife are expecting, and there was nothing more fun this week for than me myself to go buy them a Father's Day gift and write in their cards stuff that I don't normally do. I'm not sentimental. I'm not the one that kissed my kids every day and told them I loved them. I was the one kind of, no matter what they did, I was always kind of telling them they could do better and they could work harder. You can ask my wife, when they played sports and they would complain, I would say to them, "Nobody cares, shut up and work harder." That was literally what I would tell them. They say, "Dad, I'm trying as hard as I can." And I would say, "Nobody cares about your feelings, shut up and work harder." But as you get older, you begin to realize and understand there are things in life that are important, and there are things in life that really aren't that important. And the sad thing is we sometimes come to that knowledge later than what we would like, because we can't really put it into use the way that we would want to. So today, give me a few moments. I want to talk to you about a father's hands. A father's hands. If you could, Brother Carl, could you put up that picture of my dad? This is my dad. For those of you that don't know him, that's my dad. That's my biological dad. You know what irritates me? I'll give you one guess. Look at his hair. He thought he was Elvis. I remember one time, my dad, when my mom and dad got married, my dad was 9 years older than my mother. And my dad was a drinker when he got married. He was a gambler and a drinker. And he couldn't get his money home. And fable or lore has it that in the early years of my mom and dad's marriage, before my dad became a pastor, he ran around on my mom. And back then, they just didn't get divorced. And I remember having a conversation one time. My dad asked my mom, because my dad was a very jealous man. While he was doing the running around and staying out all night and drinking, he would come home before work and accuse my mom of running around to deflect off of him. And as they got older, I remember one time they were having a conversation, and my dad looked at my mom and he said, "Were you ever jealous of me? I was very jealous of you, thinking that you were getting other men. Were you ever jealous of me?" And my mom, and only the way you would have to know my mom to know this, she looked right at my dad, that's him, and she said, "There was really nothing ever to be jealous of." Now, if I was ever jealous of my dad, it was that hair, because I didn't inherit that. It's obvious. But I look at this picture, and I look at a man. Let me tell you a little bit about my dad, and maybe it'll make you think about your dad. He came from a family where he had 6 brothers and sisters. He lost his mom. His mother died of a massive heart attack when she was 43 years old. He was 12. He was raised by his dad. And actually, of his brothers and sisters, the way it was split, him and my uncle, who is still alive, his younger brother, were the young babies of the family. The sisters that he had were so much older, they were already married when their mother passed away. So my grandfather, not being able to raise children and work and have a farm like he did, he kind of outsourced them to the sisters. He moved in with my Aunt Charlene, or my Aunt Opal from Girard, and my Uncle Philip moved in with my Aunt Char, and were essentially raised by their older sisters and their husbands. He had 4 children, me being one. They actually had 5, but I have a sister that passed away when she was born that I didn't know about until my family started dying off and the funeral director told me. He had so many grandchildren that they should have just called him Abraham, because they became like the seashore, the sands of the sea, that you couldn't even number them. When we get together, we don't even know how many there are. We were trying to figure it out this morning because we were at a party yesterday. We're like, how many were there? And we're like, who knows? Because every time we get together, we have another kid, because the one scripture that our family has always embraced was be fruitful and multiply. So he had so many grandkids, and he became a different man when he became a grandpa. And as I get older, I look at him more as a human being now, because I begin to understand him as a man, not as my pastor, not as my father, which I don't even like that word. I don't like being called father. I like being called dad. But he's just a man. But when I look at that picture, there's one thing that stands out to me, and it's a little bit small, so you'll have to look. My dad was probably on his best day 5'6". I'm about 5'11". I always wanted to be 6 foot tall. And when I played sports and we'd have programs, I would always tell them, put that I'm 6 foot. And they're like, you're not 6 foot. And I'd try to stand on my tippy toes. I always wanted to be 6 foot. But my dad was about 5'6". He was born with scoliosis really bad. His pelvis was tilted. So his one leg was 3.5 inches shorter than his other leg. So he walked with a limp his whole life. When he was little, and some of you that are older will remember this, the way that they remedied that was they would give you one shoe with a really big sole so that you could walk level. And my dad, being a male and being very proud when he was a young boy, he was embarrassed to wear that shoe, so he just limped his whole life. He worked 40 years in a steel mill in addition to pastoring. He refused. They told him, they're like, you are a you are a perfect candidate for disability. And he's like, I'm not disabled. I can work. He worked his whole life. He lied when he was 14, tried to get into the military, tried to join the military at 14. They disbarred him because of his condition, because of his scoliosis. But when I look at that picture, I remember the man. He was this big. He probably told me he loved me three times my entire life. One of them was the night I got the Holy Ghost. It was a different generation. He told me he was proud of me maybe five times my entire life. I remember one of them because it was my high school graduation, and my mom was videoing with one of those old video recorders. I'm old, so it wasn't like your phone. She had this big thing, looked like the news. And I'll never forget it because when I watched the video, it's funny because I was trying to grow a mustache when I was graduating high school, and I had that real soft-haired mustache that your sons get. And my dad's standing there, and he always wore a white dress shirt, always. He never wore anything other than a white dress shirt. And he's got his arm around me, and my mom's videoing, and my mom goes, well, act like you like him. And my dad reached up and kissed me on the cheek, and he's like, I'm proud of you. He loved me. I know he did. I'm not doubting that at all. But when I look at this picture, I look at one thing. And this is how emotions can grab a hold of you if you let them. Because this is what sparked this entire message this week. I looked at this picture, and it almost looks fake if you get close enough. Because here's a man that's 5'6". He's 5'9" with his hair. Look at the size of his hands. They look like lobster claws. Now, trust me, we listened to a song about Daddy's hands that said they were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. I know those hands. I know those hands. I caught those hands several times growing up. My dad would tell me, you ain't got the sense that God gave to a government mule. And he was going to beat sense into me. He would tell me all the time, you're hard-headed, you got to learn things the hard way. And when those hands got a hold of you, you weren't getting loose. He would let a lot of things go. He was very patient. My mom beat us a whole lot more than my dad because we were around her more. We drove her crazy. So my mom was always smacking us upside the head. She dealt with us in church. But dad's hands, when he was angry, they got the point across. Because when dad's hands hit you, your parents ever say this? Any of you guys have lying parents? Any of your parents ever tell you this when you were young? They would whip you and they would say, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Okay, you're a liar. If you say that, you lie to your children. Because I've beaten my kids a lot of times and it never hurt me one time and I enjoyed most of them. And they deserved it. I should have whipped them more. But I look at his hands and I'm always mesmerized by his hands. I'm serious. When I look at this picture, it almost looks fake. And what caused the memory this week was I came over to the church and I was weed whacking here. I've been trying to get the exterior of the church up to a standard of excellence that I agree with. So I cut the grass here twice a week. And this week I was like, I'm going to start on the overflow. So I went and I took the weed whacker to the overflow instead of trying to take the lawnmower through it because there's a lot of gravel. And I just weed whacked almost the entire overflow. I started going down Washington Avenue where we put the new sign up. I got the weed killer out and was spraying it. I spent several hours over here because I don't feel sympathy for it. I love doing yard work. I love being outside. God used it as a curse for Adam. He cursed the ground and said there's going to be weeds and thistles. And you're going to do it by the sweat of your brow. Well, that wasn't a curse to me. God's got to find a different curse for me. But I got home that night, and I woke up the next morning, and I was hurt, like my hands hurt so bad. I think it's the vibration of the tools. I was using the hedge trimmers. I was using the blower. And this finger, I'm not going to show you the other way because I'm a preacher, but it's my middle finger. And I don't know if any of you ever have heard of trigger finger. I don't have that, but it kind of felt like that. And I could feel soreness all the way up through my forearm into my elbow. And I'm talking, it hurt. And I got up in the morning and I looked at Katie and I was like, man, my finger is killing me. And I looked at it and I said, does my finger look different? And she's like, it looks really swollen. So my remedy was, I didn't finish the job, so I came over and weed whacked for 3 hours again, but I used two fingers to hold it instead of one. But when I looked down at my hand, I saw I want to read Romans 8 and 15 to you. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word. It's from the Arabic language. It means Father, if you read it on the surface. But what it really means is it conveys a deep intimacy, a trust, a loving relationship. In English, to translate Abba, you say daddy or papa. You don't call your dad father. The Bible actually says, call no man on this earth your father. But this scripture in Romans, Paul's writing to the Roman church, and he says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So many people, when it comes to understanding the love of God, they get it so wrong. When I look at the picture of my dad, and you don't have to put it back up, Brother Carl, it's so easy to remember the times when I got disciplined, or when I got grounded, or when my dad was too hard because the dad down the street wasn't as hard. When my buddy's parents let them do certain things that we weren't allowed to do, and if we focused on all of the discipline and the hard work and the requirements and the rules and the regulations, you get a totally different picture than what that man really did. He didn't have to go to work. I remember my dad crawling out of the house on his hands and knees. He worked in a steel mill. He worked for WCI Steel, which was formerly LTV Steel. And he had kidney stones. And he was crying, literal tears. His back hurt so bad. And he crawled out of the house, my mom yelling at him. She said, call off. That's why you're in a union. Take the day off. And he said, Burry, somebody got to pay this electric bill. Somebody got to buy these groceries. So he crawled on his hands and knees out of the house so that we could have the cool tennis shoes to wear to school, so that we could have the clothes that we wanted, so that we could have the food that we wanted. He didn't have to do that. So I can look back and say, you know what? Yeah, but his hands were always grabbing me around the shoulder and yelling at me and telling me this. His hands were so mean, requiring me to be church. He was always telling us to read the Bible and do all these. He didn't understand. He was just a mean-spirited, old, grumpy man. But the Bible says, Paul said in the church to the book of Romans, he said, we have not received the spirit of bondage, but we've received the spirit of adoption. There's people here this morning. There's people watching online that are raising kids that are not biologically theirs. They don't have to. There's no law. There's no requirement. And they may not do it perfectly. They may lose their cool once in a while. They may get angry and say some things that they regret. They might come home from having a bad day's work and kick the dog every once in a while. They may throw something up against the wall every once. They may cuss every once in a while. They may storm out of the house and need to drive off and go off into a field somewhere. And if that's all we remember about those gentlemen, we're missing the point completely, because they've not received a spirit of bondage, but they've received a spirit of adoption wherewith we cry, Dada, Father, Papa. When I look into the heavens, I didn't deserve for God to go to a tree and die, but He adopted me as a son, and He said, I love you, I care about you. We miss it. We miss it because Father's Day really isn't as important as Mother's Day. If you study the history of Father's Day, give me 5 minutes. Father's Day in America is relatively new. The Catholic Church has celebrated what they call Father's Day since the early 1300s. They called it Joseph's Day. And it was set aside to honor St. Joseph, who was Jesus' earthly father. But in America, Father's Day was designed and invented as a comparison almost to Mother's Day, because Mother's Day was always celebrated in the churches. And there was a young lady, I'm not going to give you too much of the lesson, but you can look at this up when you go home. She was from the South. Her mother died when she was very young. And the dad was in the war. And he came home from the war, and there were 6 kids. The mom died. And the dad at that time, which was completely unheard of, did not remarry and raise the kids by himself. A man. And raised the 6 kids so that they would have a stable family life. And that daughter was going to church. And every time she heard about Mother's Day, it just kind of little... Anybody ever get a, what do they call it, a spur under your saddle? You ever get a pebble in your shoe? It doesn't drive you completely crazy, but it just kind of irritates you a little bit. Anybody in here irritable? Every dad should have their hand raised. Would irritate her. So she said, you know what? We need to celebrate Father's Day. I didn't have a mother. I had a father that raised me. And she started the whole movement to create Father's Day. Father's Day, like most holidays that we celebrate, let me burst your bubble for all the secular people. Holiday is a compound word that comes from 2 words. Holy day. Just like almost every holiday we celebrate, well, not now because we make up a whole bunch, they started as a religious celebration, a biblical celebration. That's what Father's Day started as. So there's your history lesson. So Father's Day comparison to Mother's Day is relatively new, but that's why it came along. How many of you understand that a father's love and a mother's love are different? How many understand that they're both necessary? I know some people get mad, but you need both. If you want to be what God has designed you to be, God's design for the family is a mother and a father as role models over the children. You're not equal. Quit telling me you're best friends with your daughter. You're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to be best friends with your son. You're supposed to be their dad and their mom. You're supposed to be that their whole life. So even when they're 40 and they smart off to you, you have pastor's permission, smack them right in the mouth. in front of your grandkids. Teach them both a lesson real quick. I can't wait for that. I don't get to do it now because my kids are telling me how much I don't know about how to raise kids because they're both. So I just sit back and laugh. I'm like, ah, you wait. When they come here, there aren't the same rules. But this week, I learned a lot about being a man from my hands. My finger still hurts this morning. Again, I'm not going to show you the way I want to because the FCC would shut us down as a church. I'll do it like this. My knuckle's all swelled up. It's probably what many of you deal with every day. Who in here has arthritis? How many of you thank God every day for your arthritis? Good. I understand. How many of you ask for deliverance? How many of you wear Bengay? I looked down at my hand, and I immediately thought of my dad. I wondered how many days, when we were still asleep, and the last words that we had with my dad before he went to bed were arguing with him or fussing with him about how he didn't do what we wanted to do. I can remember he would take us to Geauga Lake. Now, this was the 80s when we were young, but he would take the whole family. He had four kids. He'd take my mom. He'd take my grandpa because he lived with us, pay for everybody to get in, let us ride rides, let us eat. My mom would always make a picnic with cold chicken and taco salad. Delicious. That's what hillbillies eat when they go to Geauga Lake. But we'd get in the car on the ride home after my dad probably just dropped $500. And we would drive past a Dairy Queen or a McDonald's or a Taco Bell. And we'd say, Dad, can we go to McDonald's? And he's like, no, we can't go to McDonald's. And us kids would say, man, we don't ever get to do anything. I wonder how many times, I wondered this week, when he was driving to that old dirty steel mill and breathing in black dust. And I wonder how many times his hands hurt. I remember when we were little, he would come home and he worked in a steel mill when it was hard work. He would lay on the ground because of his pelvis that I told you about, and we would walk on his back. And the pressure, the weight of us kids walking on his back would always make him feel better. He would lay there and he'd say, Mike, he called me Butch. He'd say, Butch, pull my short leg. And the pressure of like stretching him out would make it feel better. I wonder how many times he looked down at his hands. He always drove the beat up car. Mom always had the kids, so she got a nicer car. Dad always had a work car. You know, the kind you're embarrassed to get taken to school in. Hey, Dad, just drop us off on the corner so our friends don't see that we're poor. I wonder how many times driving home from midnight turn, when it's 4 degrees outside and the thermostat in the car breaks again, he's got his head out the window because he can't defrost the windows. I wonder how many times he just rubbed his hands because they were sore. I wonder how many times he just couldn't. I remember when by the time he got to the end, he couldn't open his hands. He was cheap like all men of that age. He liked to always have cash money. He liked to count it. I inherited that from him. I count my money all the time. I do it because my wife is a magician. I can go to bed with a certain amount of money in my wallet, and my wife can magically make it disappear. I don't know how she does it, but abracadabra, psh, and I don't have any money left, so I have to count it. You got to have dexterity to do that. Well, my dad loved to count money, but he got to the point his hands didn't work. He couldn't grip. Why don't you preach about the Holy Ghost? I'm trying to talk to you this morning if you'll listen. I learned something this week about being a man because I took time to think about my dad's hands, my father's hands. Any of you have father's hands that look like that? I hear jokes said all the time about, if your boyfriend's hands don't look like that, you don't have a boyfriend, you have a girlfriend. I remember when I worked at the car plant. It was probably 3 or 4 years after I left before the calluses went away. I tell my wife in the morning sometimes when I wake up, when I told you last week, when she always is like, good morning, good morning, good morning. And I'm like, please shut up. I wake up and it takes me a while. I got to warm my hands up from carpal tunnel. It takes me a while. They say, don't crack your knuckles. I'm like, if I don't crack my knuckles, I can't feel my hands. I wake up and I got a little routine I got to do. I stretch them out. People are like, you don't even lift weights, but you have Popeye forearms. It's from working with my hands. I learned something this week about a father's hands. What's that have to do with spiritually? I'm going to read you a scripture. And I'm going to close on this, and then we're going to go have pie. And I want all you ladies to use your hands to give your husband, your father, your boyfriend, whoever's here with you, he deserves a big piece of pie today. He deserves 2 pieces of pie. There's enough for everybody. One day out of the year, you can wait until the men eat first. Some man be proud. Be man enough right now. Say amen, Brother Mike. You can serve us and you can like it. Hey, oh, that's good. Somebody run the aisles. I want to read a scripture to you. Don't put it up yet, but take it down, Pastor, Brother Carl. It's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 15 and 16. It says this: can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. How many of you are old enough to have ever heard a news story where authorities, police, first responders, maybe an innocent bystander, has gone to a dumpster or the side of the road or some overgrown field and found the dead carcass of a child in a plastic bag? Anybody ever heard of those stories? You'll hear them. They'll be in a big city and they'll look into a dumpster and they'll find a baby that the mother abandoned and left it. Now, I'm not here to cast stones and throw judgment, but it happens. It's a reality in the world that we live in. It's not just a third world thing. It happens here in the state of Ohio. And Isaiah said, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Go ahead, Brother Carl, you can put it up. Go to verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. When I look at my hands, I remember my dad. But when God looks at his hands, he remembers us. Because the scripture says, behold, I'll never forget thee, because I've engraven thee upon the palms of my hands. You know what that scripture means? There's one thing. There's only one thing in heaven this morning that is man-made. There's only one thing that will ever be in heaven that is man-made. And do you know what it is? It's the scars. It's the holes in the hands of your father that were put there because of you. And Jesus said, Can a woman, can a mother forget her sucking child? Yea, she might. Hopefully it doesn't happen, but it's possible that it could happen. But I will never forget you because I've engraven you upon the palms of my hands. Your father's hands this morning remind him of you. And he looked at him this morning. He knew this morning that you were going to be in this building. So he gave this ignorant, bald-headed preacher a message and said, speak to my children and tell them this morning that when I look at my hands, I love them and I would do it all over again. I will never forget you because I've engraven you upon the palms of my hands. So dads, listen to me this morning. This week when your hands hurt and you want everything in you to just have one of those days and just cast everybody aside, just keep being faithful. Get up and go to work. Try as hard as you can to put a smile on your face. Massage the pain out of your forearms, knowing that you're doing what God has called you to do. And when you get the wit's end and you don't have anywhere else to turn, always know you have a Father in heaven who cares about you, who died for you, and he engraved you upon the palms of his hands. I miss my dad. I miss him bad. I wish all the time that he could just see me, my children, my granddaughter. He didn't get a chance. He didn't live long enough. And I've told you my testimony. I walk every day. I try to do what's right, but I'm stubborn and bullheaded, and I love salty food, and I know it's not good for me while I'm eating it. And my wife doesn't help because she always wants to go get ice cream. And I don't have the heart to tell her no because I'm a loving, romantic husband who also likes ice cream. But I want to be around for my kids. I want to be around for my children, my grandchildren, hopefully my great-grandchildren. But if I'm not, while I'm here, I got to tell them when Daddy's gone, when they put me down in that ground, when you come visit me in that box, I need you to know something. You're not alone. You're not alone. You've got a heavenly Father who's engraven you upon the palms of his hands. And this morning, Jesus woke up in heaven. I know he doesn't slumber or sleep, but he looked down at his hands and he thought of you. He loves you. He loves you just like you love your children. The Bible says, we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more does your heavenly Father want to give you the Holy Ghost who believe in him? You know that feeling when you're driving to work and nobody in the house was nice to you? Your wife gave you a hard time. The kids are up the miff tree. And there you go again out to that job. Your lunch ain't packed very good. She put the angry lunch in there. You got a can of soup. She didn't even open it. She didn't give you no spoon. She's got to hope you find a plastic one in the break room. No little note. Hey, baby, I love you. Just a can. And even a good kind. It's a gross kind. It's Progresso. It ain't got no salt in it. She didn't pour you no cotton. Nothing. You're driving, every song on the radio puts you in a bad mood. You're like, what's it all for? But yet you still walk to that time clock and you punch it in. You know what you are? You're an earthly representation of your heavenly Father. Yeah. Yeah. Who is hanging on a tree, dying, and the very people that killed him, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dads, I'm done. You're never going to find a preacher that's more on your side. You're never going to find a preacher that stands up for the role of men in this world, because it's what we're lacking. It's what we're lacking in the church. It's what we're lacking in society. We need good men to just stand on their feet, and we need all the ladies to get beside us and say, you know what? You are still needed in this world. Quit making fun of us. Quit laughing at us. Quit telling us how dumb we are, and stand with us. Because when we look at our hands, we remember our dads. But when our Heavenly Father looks at His hands, He remembers us. So if you don't get anything else out of this message, get this. And I hope this stays with you for the rest of your life. Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that He permanently engraved you upon the palms of His hands. You're already in heaven because you're in the mind of the Savior. When He looks at His hands, He remembers you. The song says, when He was on the cross, you were on His mind. Stand with me this morning. I noticed I wanted to give them 5 minutes. They've went out, and if your piece of pie is not big enough today, you have pastor's permission, if you are male, to request a second piece. There's every different flavor, every different kind. There's ice cream. I'm sure there's donuts and coffee left. It's way earlier than normal. I want you to hear something. This church loves you. We appreciate what you do every day. You're a gift from God to your family. Keep being what you're being and let God bless you. We're going to be dismissed, and I want everybody to take a few moments, greet one another, and enjoy the fellowship. Get your picture taken. Don't forget the dress socks on the table right as you go down the ramp. Every man is free to take one of those as a gift. And also sit, take some time, have some pie, love one another. If you haven't already heard it, hear it as loud as I can say it. Happy Father's Day. We love you. You're important. Let's pray to God and let's be dismissed. Lord Jesus, we appreciate you this morning for the love that you've shown to all of us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Abba, Father, for the sacrifice that you engraved us upon your hands. Help us, God, to just realize the love that you have for us. And let it not end with us, Lord, but let us take that love and give it to the children that you've blessed us with. Be with us the rest of this day. Help us to have a great Father's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. Enjoy some fellowship with another. One another, we love you.